Good morning, everybody. You can take a seat if you haven't done so already. If we haven't met before, my name's Ryan. It's great to be here with you today. If you're online, welcome to you as well. And we're gonna open up the Word of God together this morning, and we're gonna be looking at some verses out of the Book of Acts, which is gonna be fantastic. But I just want to take you all back in time a little bit, if that's all right, for a moment. We're gonna zoom back in time to the year 2013. 10 years ago, not quite, almost 10 years ago, 2013, I went on a family holiday, obviously with my family, but like not just like my wife and kids. I didn't have kids in 2013, so me and my wife went on holidays with my family, so my mom and my siblings, and we thought as a part of that holiday, it'd be cool to kind of go back and see a little bit of like where my family had come from. So my mom was big on this. She's like, let's go back to Ireland, somewhere the Clue name came out of a place in Ireland, and so we thought, why not, you know, we're around the corner, let's go to this little county, and we'll head there, and we'll kind of see where our origins originally came from. So we go, and we're staying in this little town. I'm like, it's meant to be this little town, but the place is hopping, like, there's like people everywhere, and I'm like, what's going on? And so we checked into our hotel, and by that time, it was like a little house, you know, it said hotel on the booking, but it was a county, so I learned in counties that hotels are like little houses. And so we're in this little house, and we walk. We're like, let's go find somewhere to go to dinner. And we step outside, and when I said it was hopping, like, there are people everywhere. I'm like, what is going on? And people are like, yeah, we're heading to this park. And like in the thousands, they're heading to this park. I'm like, what is going on? Anyway, I'm like, let's just go. Let's just follow the crowd. And so we start walking, and eventually, I think we've got a video there. This is what I see that begins to take place. And there are people carrying flags, and they're waving them. And I'm like, geez, they're real patriotic to the county. And I'm asking people what's going on. They're like, we're going to celebrate. I'm like, what are we going to celebrate? And they look at me a bit funny, like, don't you know? I'm like, I don't know. Can't you tell by my accent? I'm not Irish. They're like, we're going to celebrate the victory. And I'm like, and also we can't play it right now, but like tune in the background here is like AC/DC as well. Like, so it's really got my attention. And there's LED screens, and there's lights. And anyway, we get to this park, and they're like, people are cheering. And I'm like, can someone please just tell me what's going on? Like, humor me for a minute. And they're like, we won the hurling competition. And I'm like, the hurling competition? And I said this to her, like, what is hurling? And so now they're like getting really disgusted at me, like disrespect. I'm like, I've heard of curling, right, in the Olympics where there's that. But like, what is hurling? Like, do you chuck stuff? And they're like, the level of disgust was through the roof. But this event would have been like stumbling upon Langley Park in 2018 after the Eagles had just won the premiership. Everyone is just going wild for what I learned was a team that had just competed in the national hurling competition. And hurling is actually a sport. And they won. And they were going nuts. And I was like, I am from a crazy town. Like, my family are from a crazy town. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, it was amazing because you feel like you're a part of something. But I'm like, these people are crazy. And I want to get back to my accommodation. And I want to go home. And the next day, we wake up. Most of the people had then dispersed. The streets were trashed. We stayed 1 or 2 days and got a better experience of what the county actually looked like. But we just stumbled, by mistake, upon a moment where things had gone crazy. And we found ourselves on the outside of the craziness, looking in with no understanding of what was going on. No one could tell me why hurling was good. They just said it's the best sport ever. There was no explanation. I went back and looked up hurling. You can feel free to do this in your own time. I might be biased, but it's an average sport in my mind. There are better sports out there. But if you said that there, I feel like I was going to get lynched. I was already in trouble for not knowing what it was. And we're going to turn to a story in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, where we kind of see one of these moments in the church actually unfold. And I'd encourage you, you know, during your week, maybe you want to take some time, actually read through this chapter. There's a lot of scripture there, so we're not going to, I can see some of you breathing a sigh of relief. We're not going to read the entire chapter of Acts 2, but we're going to have a look at some key verses out of there. But the premise of this story is that God's people, the disciples, have gone to gather together and they're praying. And the Holy Spirit comes, and it's a little bit of a crazy moment. They start speaking in different languages, and God is moving amongst this group of people who more than likely were not meeting in a building like this, but perhaps were meeting in a house and just seeking God. It's just after Jesus has gone to heaven, and the Holy Spirit comes and moves. So much so that people begin to draw their attention to what's happening there. And it says some people were mesmerized, some people were shocked, some people were curious, and some people like me that day in Ireland were like, these people are crazy. What is going on here? They don't understand what's happening, and so curiosity spins in, but then some people in fact go, these people are just crazy, they're drunk. Like the only explanation is they must be drunk. Now let me tell you, when I was in Ireland, some of those people were definitely drunk. I know that for a fact. And they write it off because they don't understand it. A little bit like me, these people is crazy. Like they're crazy about this thing that makes no sense. Thousands of them gathered, gone crazy. This is a small group of people where the Holy Spirit comes and there's a move of God. And what you see here is relevant then as it is today, that when the Holy Spirit moves amongst God's people, it's going to get people's attention. That when the Holy Spirit is up to something within his people, it's going to capture people's attention. And these people look and they go, these guys has got to be, they've got to be drunk. They're just crazy. You know, I don't understand. And then our boy Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, decides to get up and address the crowd. And he kicks off with like, these people could not be drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. And you're like, that is too early to have been on the source. But not because of the reasons that we might think in our day, but they were actually fasting at this point, and so they wouldn't have even started eating or drinking anything until 10. So it's like illogical that that would be the answer. But Peter steps up and he addresses the crowd. And it says this, it says, then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. And we look at Peter and I look at Peter and not long before this, you know, Peter doesn't have a great public track record with people. So let's just drop back to the Garden of Gethsemane for a moment if you've been there before. They come to arrest Jesus. Peter has a public moment to defend Jesus. What does he do? He gets a sword out and like cuts someone. Jesus is like, that's not the way, Peter. Come on, mate. Then Jesus is crucified and goes to the cross. And what's Peter's next public move? He denies Jesus. No, I wasn't aggressively denied. I wasn't with him. I'm nothing to do with it. Because the pressure and the heat is on. But in this moment, we see a different version of Peter. I imagine being the other 11 in this moment when Peter stands up and goes, hey, everyone. And you're like, oh, no. Like, is it a sword moment? Is it a denial moment? Like, what's he going to bring here? But he stands up and he boldly addresses the crowd and goes, hey, you've actually got it wrong here. It's not what you think it is. And he has this bold moment where he addresses a crowd of people, and I'm sorry, I'm going to spoil the story for you, but at the end of this story, it says that 3,000 people decided that they wanted to follow Jesus. Not just because of Peter, but because the Holy Spirit was up to something and Peter was bold enough to do something about it. And as a result of his boldness, 3,000 people say, you know what? I think this is for me. 3,000 people who were there going, I don't know what this is. This just seems crazy to me. This seems foreign to me. Goes, you know what? I want something. There's something in this. I want something. I want something of this in my life. And that's a radical shift for Peter. Peter maybe didn't struggle with boldness. He probably struggled with using it wrongly. But there are times where he denied Christ and he wasn't bold. And there's still persecution and risk for these guys here. It's not a risk-free situation. How perhaps some of us can live today where we're all right to believe whatever we want, aren't we? Like, you believe whatever you want. Peter's not in that situation. And he sees that the attention of people is on the disciples and the people of God, and he decides to boldly do something about it. And I believe the call to boldness in our faith is what we are called to have today, just as Peter was called to have it then. And what boldness might look like today is going to be different to what it looked like back then. The risks that we maybe associate with needing to be bold in Australia are different to other parts of the world. But there is a call to God's people to be bold. And that when the Holy Spirit is alive and moving and active amongst his people, that there is a boldness that needs to come from us. And so what I wanted to do today was just look at a few things that, as I've read through this scripture and look at what Peter did and how he went about it, would help us today to go, you know what, if we do some of these things boldly, it's going to help us have that same spirit of, God, can you move through us? And I want to be a part of that, to see it go out into our world today. Does that sound okay? The first thing that you see from Peter in this story is that he knows the scriptures. You know, one of the first things he does is when he addresses here, you go, you can look here and it says this. It says, no, what you see here was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And all will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn red before the great glorious days of the Lord arise. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, the first thing Peter does here is he actually just quotes scripture. And I believe that there is a thing for us in knowing scripture that will cause us to be bold in the faith that we have. That knowing what God's word says actually backs up what we believe. It actually tells the story from the beginning to the end. It tells the story of God's heart to have a relationship with his people. It tells the story of Jesus going to the cross and the death and the resurrection. It shapes the faith that we have. And it allows us to bring scripture into today. I don't know how many like times this might have happened to you. I had this happen the other day. A friend of mine just rang me and goes, I just was reading the Bible and I read the scripture and I thought of you. And I was like, you have no idea how relevant that is in my life. No idea what was going on, hadn't spoken for a long time, because I just thought of you. And I'm like, man, that's impacting, the power of scripture. Often in the job that I do, I can have conversations with people and they'll be like, you can say something to someone that clearly for me has come out of the Word of God and I maybe haven't quoted that straight. And they're like, where did you get that from? It actually comes from the Bible. And sometimes people are like, no way, that couldn't have come out of the Bible. Like that old book, I got one of those in my drawer somewhere. You're like, no, the scriptures are powerful and relevant. Yes. And if we want to be people of bold faith, we need to be immersed in the scriptures. I don't imagine that Peter got up there when he was quoting that and had his Bible with him and had to like scroll through or hit Google and be like, what does it say about Jesus? Prophet Joel. Can tell I've done that before. And those who laughed have too. But the reality is he knew it. He was able to quote it. He had it memorized. He knew the Word of God. And was then able to preach it boldly to thousands of people. We got to know the scriptures. We got to know them from the inside out. And to do that, we have to spend time immersed in God's word. And I want to encourage you today, if that's not something that you do, if that's not a rhythm or a part of your life, find a way to start doing that. Maybe it's the Bible in 1 year. Maybe it's reading the verse of the day. Whatever it is for you, finding a way to begin to immerse yourself in God's scripture, to memorize it, to make it a part of who you are, so that when opportunities come to have conversations with people or maybe to seek God or find some wisdom, you'll find it not in where the world says to find it, but you'll find it where God says to find it, right there in his word. You know, as it continues, you see in verse 22 here, it says, people of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders and signs through him, as you all well know. But God knew what would happen, and prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for God could not keep him in its grip. For death could not keep him in his grip. 32, God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. He is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see here today. You know, there's a strong part of this scripture where you see that Peter knew Jesus. Peter knew the work of Jesus. Peter knew that Jesus went to the cross and died and rose again, had power over sin and death. and he was familiar with the work of Jesus. You know, if I look sometimes in my life and I think about the work of Jesus, I can sometimes leave it at the cross and go, yep, Jesus is just up in heaven. He was a person. He's up in heaven, and that's what we gather around. But the reality is the work of Jesus isn't finished. And the reality is that Jesus should be at work in our lives on a daily basis. That Peter could tell stories about the miracles that he saw Jesus do and the work that he saw him do. He saw him go to the cross. He saw him rise again. He saw all of that and was able to testify that in his life because it was real to him. And we can read the scriptures and read the stories and it can be real to us, but there's a reality that Jesus wants to be at work in us today. I read this article the other day that was talking about humanity a little bit and how sometimes it can be a disappointment when heroes become human. That when people we look up to, you know, they were talking largely about the West Coast Eagles and how so many of them are just become human in recent days. Like they're not even footballers anymore, they're just people. There's this reality that we can look at people and go, look at what they're doing, it is amazing. But somewhere along the line, they become human to us. Or someone that we look up to kind of maybe lets us down and you go, oh, that's their humanity. Or someone who's prominent in our life might pass away and that there's this element of humanity to it. But what I love about Jesus is he's not the hero that became human and stayed human. He's the hero that became human and conquered humanity and is in heaven, but sends his spirit to be at work in us. And there should be stories in our lives of where we're seeing God at work in our lives. So when someone asks something about our faith, that it's not something that was like 20 years ago or 6 months ago or a one-off occurrence, but actually it's a daily relationship that we have with Jesus, where we see him at work and we're able to tell stories about how life is different because of Jesus. Not once off different, but daily it's different. And it's not like it's going to be miracle after miracle every day. That's not certainly not what I'm getting at. But there should be this discipleship in our lives that's taking place, that Jesus is forming us more and more into his likeness because of what he is doing in our lives. That then should show our world that there is something different about us because of who he is and what he's doing in our life. The third one is this, that he had the boldness to lead. I love this in Peter, that he shares these stories and these scriptures and that they ask him, like, what do we do? And in verse 37 says, Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? You know, Peter quotes scripture to him. He tells him about Jesus, who he is, what he's done, the power of the Holy Spirit. And it says it pierced them. Like his boldness pierced their hearts. Like it broke through their hearts. And they ask this question, what should we do? And Peter doesn't go, oh, I don't know, read the Bible. Hey, come to church on Sunday. He says this to them. He says, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I love this here in 39. This promise is to you, to your children, and those far away. All have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time. He's one of those preachers. Strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And then the ending that I gave away, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church all that day, about 3,000 in all. What a powerful story. That Peter chooses, he just uses these words. What a beautiful picture. A man who denied even knowing Jesus is able to stand up in front of a crowd who thinks they're already crazy, probably a little bit hostile, and go, you know what? Listen to this. Here it is, straight out of the scriptures. Here's personal experience of who Jesus is. Here's what I believe about him. And it says it got through to them to the point where they're like, what do we do now? But you know what? Then he has the boldness to lead them in that direction. He knows the next step. He knows what to take them to. He knows where to lead them to. And they follow. And the church goes that day from a small room of people gathered and praying and seeking after God. Can you imagine that problem of having to baptize 3,000 people and add them into the church? Amazing picture. But something truly amazing happened that day. as the Holy Spirit came and moved upon Peter. And the last one is this, that the reason we can have boldness today is because of the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we can know the Holy Spirit, that you can see through the scriptures that the Holy Spirit is real. And actually, it's not our work that gets it done. It's actually the work of the Holy Spirit. And Dean mentioned so wonderfully at the beginning that we are here gathered together. And I believe that when the church gathers, things happen. That as we give our attention and our praise to God, He wants to move amongst His people. And it should be different and it should be noticeable. And sometimes it might actually look a little bit crazy. But as the Holy Spirit's at work, He is drawing people to Himself. But you know what is also equally as powerful in my mind is that, as Dean mentioned, we will leave from here a little while and become the church scattered. And in the church scattered, you and I are going to come across people who God is actually drawing to Himself, but they are just waiting for someone with the boldness to come along and allow the work of the Holy Spirit in them to work in their life. And for each one of us, as we go from here, there are those people that we are going to come across. It's part of my week. I spend a little bit of time as a chaplain at a football club. And let me tell you, there is no more foreign place for the church at times than the football club. The way they talk is very different to the way I talk. You know, there's one or two characters that I'll keep having conversations with, and often it comes down to, what are you doing tomorrow? Because it's Saturday most of the time when we have footy. And the easy thing for me to do is just to be like, to take the attention off myself, be like, yeah, I'll have some lunch with my family, we'll hang out. But often I would say, hey, I don't want to be pushy, but I'm like, hey, I'm just going to church. And one guy would be like, huh? And I probably told him on Sundays I go to church, but every time he's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to church. It's Sunday. That's what I do on Sunday. I go to church. And he's like, every Sunday. I'm like, 52 Sundays a year, man. Give or take. Three or four, you know. And he's like, yeah, right. Okay, and off he goes. And you can see his brain's like. But every now and again, he's like, what do you do there? And I'm like, just hang out. I don't know. And then other people will be like, oh, did you say church? Like, do you go to church? And like, no way. I'm like, what? And like, do you have a collar? You know, like, I'm like, no, I don't. But the biggest thing I find is, and not that I've had this miracle of baptizing the football club, you know, or wherever it is, the gym, or wherever it is I might go where people don't know Jesus. The overwhelming thing that I find is that they're curious about what goes on. I don't often get badgered, like, oh, you're one of those. Like, that doesn't happen. In fact, one lady said to me, when I told her I worked at a church, I was going like the low bar, like, didn't say pastor, just said I worked for a church. It was like 5:30 in the morning. She's like, what? As like the janitor. And she didn't say janitor, she said, do you do maintenance? And I was like, what? And she's like, do you do maintenance at a church? And I was like, oh no, you've got it all wrong. I'm a pastor of a church. And she's like, what? You? And I was like, man, I need to have a good heart look at myself if that's her response. And she goes, I would just never pick that, like, someone who looks like you would be a pastor. And I was like, can we unpack this? We like talk a little bit about what her experience of church is like. So then she automatically just becomes curious about what kind of a, and then this other guy goes, yeah, I go to church every Sunday, but my pastor doesn't look like you. Our church doesn't look like what you're describing. It's a bit different. But there's this curiosity around the church and what does it stand for and what does it mean? And if we're bold enough to bring that in and be attentive to the Spirit about who we talk to and what we talk about, I believe that it breaks down the barriers of church. And we don't have to be like Peter in this situation and go, you know what you need to do? You need to get baptized, like, right now. Come on. But maybe it's just one little conversation with someone that's going to change their opinion of what Christianity actually is, about who Jesus is. Maybe it's in the way you act and treat the people in your workplace around you that they go, there's something a little bit different about that guy. I want to know what it actually is. And you're able to begin and have conversations. If you're actually bold about being a person of faith, you know, if we want to smother that, the Holy Spirit's not going to be able to move in our lives because we're smothering the ability for Him to be at work. It takes a boldness in God's people to go, hey, I actually know what I stand for and I want to bring it out into the world. And it'll look different to how Peter did it for you and for me. But the story remains the same. That the Holy Spirit wants to be active and working in our lives to see people who don't know him come to know him. And we don't need a microphone or a megaphone or a giant building to actually go and do that. See, daily, just need to be able to seek after God and go, what have you got for me today? And walk it out into your life. But have the boldness to actually do that. And I know it's not always easy to do that, and it can be difficult and it can be challenging. But that's the call we have as the people of God. Not about being perfect, but about inviting his Spirit to be a part of what we're doing. Actually inviting ourselves to be a part of the work that the Spirit wants to do is more appropriate, I think. What would you have me do today? What's in front of me? Who can I talk to? Where can I make a difference in the world today? And if we would do that, imagine what the church scattered would look like every day. And imagine the celebrations that we would have when we come gathered together to celebrate who he is and what he's doing amongst us. It's an amazing picture. But for each of us, we all have that one call. Will we invite the Spirit to be a part of who we are and what we're up to? And to partner with him in the work that we're doing as the church scattered, where people don't know him. It's a promise that, I love that it says it's a promise. The Holy Spirit was not just a promise for the disciples, it's not just a promise for some, it's a promise for you and for me and our children and our children's children and people all over the world, that we get to be a part of God's work in seeing people come back to him. In a few moments, we're gonna come to the table, that place where we recognize who Christ is and what he did. It's this opportunity to center ourselves around who he is. Sometimes it's that powerful reminder of what we've read here about how he did come as human, but overcame all of that to give us relationship with God, to send his Spirit to be alive in this world. And it's not something that we should come around shyly. I believe it's something we come around boldly. To recognize that that's what sets us apart in this world is Jesus Christ and what he did for us and what he did for those that don't know that yet. And that the promise was that when he would go, his Spirit would come to be alive and active in his people. And so the team are going to come, and we're going to sing a couple of more songs. We're going to come around the table and recognize and remember that. And you can come as you're ready to do that. But I would love to just pray for us as a church today. But particularly, I want to just pray for anyone who feels like in your life you want a bit of that boldness that we see through Peter, that boldness to grab a hold of what the Spirit is doing in your life and to take that out into your world as we're scattered and begin to invite the Holy Spirit to be at work in your life to show you where you can partner with him to make a difference in this world. I'm going to ask you to maybe do something a little bit bold. And if that's you this morning, I'd love you to be able to stand up. Go, I just want a piece of that boldness. I want a piece of that boldness in my life. That I would seek the Spirit of God as we go out as the church scattered. And so if that's you, I'd love to pray for you. And I ask you to stand where you are. And then in a few moments, we'll come around the table. And if that's you and you're standing and I'd love to just pray for a fresh move of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so if that's you, I'd ask you just to open your hands out in front of you, just to receive what he has for you today. What I love about this is we're gathered from all around the place. But the Spirit knows exactly where you'll be tomorrow, who you're going to come around, the people in your life. He knows the opportunities that are going to be granted to you. Our job is just to open our hearts and our ears and our minds to be aware of that and to walk in that. And so that's what I'm going to pray for. Lord, I thank you that you are always at work in our lives. Jesus, we're so grateful that you went to the cross to restore what was broken, but that you didn't just remain human, that you overcame all of that and sent your Spirit to be at work amongst us. And Lord, just as we've seen it in this story, as we seek your presence and your Spirit in our lives, Lord, may it bring curiosity to those around us, to ask about what they don't know, to seek what they haven't yet found. And Lord, may we be open to the gentle whisper of your Spirit to see that play out in our worlds. So Lord, I pray for each person standing with their hands open. Lord, may you pour out a fresh move of your Spirit in their lives. Lord, may they know you in a fresh way today. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would bring boldness to your people today to go out as the church scattered and see amazing things happen in their world because of your power here today. Lord, we give you all the honor and all the praise, and it's in your name we pray, amen. As you're ready, you can come around the table and we'll spend some time in worship together. Thanks, team.